It's great to be here tonight. I'm going to wait till Saturday night to really brag on the teams. So in case they mess up between now and then anyway. But I have been so impressed with these young people. And I should know, I taught 4 years Christian high school. And been in youth work quite a bit in the churches. So you guys are to be commended. I want to share tonight a message that's been on my heart. You know, when I started, it seems like weeks ago now, but I shared a quote from Dr. Dennis Kinlaw. And he said in his sermon, Intimacy with God, the trouble with the church today is people who think they're Christians but are not. You remember my saying that if you were here? Well, he goes on to say, our world does not need to hear more people talk about God or even about Jesus if those people do not have a lifestyle that reinforces every word they utter. The interesting thing, he says, is that the closer we walk in intimacy with God, the less we have to say. Our very lives become a bold and beautiful testimony to the purity, the freedom, and the beauty of the Lord Jesus Christ. God created us for fellowship with Him. And the first several sermons that I shared here, I tried to get that point across, that God wants to talk to us. He does talk to us. I could tell you time, you know, story after story after story, when God spoke to me. Maybe not verbally, but it was into my spirit, and there was no doubt in my mind that He was speaking. Sometimes a word of correction, many a time a word of direction of what I'm supposed to do. He has come sometimes and just been with me. And those times have been sweet. God created us with fellowship, and I said from the very beginning, my goal this time is to hope that when we all leave this place, that we, you know, and I kind of like what some have been talking about, a reset. You know, in the computer, you can reset it. And sometimes you have to do that because it doesn't work otherwise. But I think if we're going to have a reset, you know, we need to reset to the right things. And I don't think it's necessarily, not to disagree with what Carol said, but going back to one of those, and there have been great times in our past, spiritual times. And many a time, I have to be reminded of those, and I'm going through a discouraging time. Remember when God was so close through that particular time. But I don't want to go back to those. I want to go ahead. And I do believe that God is giving us the opportunity. He did not do this virus. I don't believe it was of Satan. I don't believe it was that God did it. But God is using this to say, hey, now's a chance to do some things a little differently. Maybe correct some of the things that we've gone off into that we shouldn't have. I want us to read, if you have your Bible with you, this one of the stories of Jesus. I was thinking on the way over here, you know, the stories of Jesus are so beautiful, they ought to make a movie about it. And then I thought, oh, they did. there's a new one out called The Chosen. I've not seen it, but I've heard so much about it, I have to. It's kind of like a series called The Chosen. But there's, if you want a good book to read, get a Bible, go to the New Testament. I don't advocate starting in the Old Testament unless you're an academic geek, and some of you might be. But starting in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, listen to the stories of Jesus. And these are just true stories that his disciples wrote in accounting what they saw as Jesus walked this earth. So let me read from Luke chapter 17, very familiar passage, I'm sure, starting with verse 11. It says, now, on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance. They called out in a loud voice, Jesus, Master, have pity on us. When he saw them, he said, Go, show yourselves to the priests. As they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Rise, go, your faith has made you well." This is good preaching material on gratitude. 10 are healed, only 1 is thankful. And I've heard so many sermons on this passage, and good sermons. And that is a good truth here, that, you know, when the Lord does something for us, when somebody else does something for us, we ought to be thankful. We even have a holiday that tells us, you know, at least one day a year, be thankful. It's called Thanksgiving. As I read this, I think back, our church was not meeting in person, and what they did was, they set up, we have about 300 people normally attend, so they spaced all the seats out, and there's 2 here and 3 there, and some tables in the back for families to sit at, and you have to register, and only the first 100, then they have like a waiting list. Well, I don't know, I wasn't there last Sunday, but I don't think we've had 100 yet. Some are still kind of afraid to come. Well, you know, as you're going in, the greeter's there, they've got hand sanitizer and a box of masks. And they have a sign, and they've been telling us that masks are encouraged but not required. Well, just between you and I hate masks. I don't know if they're any good or not, but my wife's trying to be a good example, and so she says to me, "We ought to wear a mask at least in." So I put the mask on and I walked in. I understand, I love these people that they try. I love going to church and being with God's people. And I couldn't help myself because as I went past that table, we have a great big foyer, there were 2 or 3 of my friends that were standing there. So with this mask on, I came in and I started saying, "Unclean, unclean." You see, in Jesus' day, the lepers, they were diseased, and if you touched them, you would probably get it. And if you've ever read about leprosy, it's a pretty nasty disease. And they were concerned that perhaps blind people might inadvertently bump into a leper. So a leper was required to shout as he went down the roads or whatever, to yell "unclean." And I got a good laugh out of it, and people, you know, thought it was funny. And then as soon as I sat down, I took the mask off. And I put it back on the way out. And we had a good service. But you know, this story is very interesting. And I had never seen it until I was listening to a sermon of a guy by the name of Scott Daniels. And he puts this together with another passage of scripture. And that's what I want to do for you tonight. You see, here's what happened. In verse 14, he tells them, the 10 of them, go and show yourself to the priest. That was the custom of that day. If you were healed, you had to go and go through a process. You would see the priest. The priest would examine you and say, "Well, yeah, it looks like perhaps, you know, you have been healed. Come back in 7 days or however many days they prescribed back then." Then, you know, he would check them out again. And after a certain period of time, boy, doesn't that sound like quarantine for 14 days? Anyway, said, okay, and then they would be declared by the priest clean, and then they could go through the streets without having to yell "unclean," and they could attend worship services and so forth. So Jesus says to them, go and show yourself to the priest. Now, as I look at this, they weren't standing there, and Jesus didn't say you'll be healed, or say, you know, you say you're healed. So they were standing there. Jesus says, go. They're looking, they're still, you know, in pretty rough shape. It says, you know, go show yourself. So they turned and went. I know human nature enough to think that perhaps they turned in discouragement. If I were there, I was a leper, I would be saying, you know, heal me. We want to be healed. That's why they're crying out to this teacher, this miracle worker. and nothing seems to have happened. And so it says, what's the exact wording in my translation, says, when he saw them, he said, go show yourselves, and as they went, they were cleansed. I believe that if they were turning simply in discouragement to go back about their lives, they would not have been healed. Now, I'm reading into it. I know that. You see, God sets up sometimes, you know, and he tells us what to do. And if we're not obedient, we're not going to see the blessing of God. We just aren't. Fortunately, they did. And as they went, they were healed, all 10 of them. Now, I read the story to you. You know that as they were going, headed toward the priests, then one of them turned and came back. When he saw he was healed, and again, that didn't happen until they turned and went, says he came back praising God in a loud voice. This wasn't just a simple, you know, hey Master, I want to thank you for what you did. He's praising God, throws himself at Jesus' feet, thanks him. And then the writer of the story says, oh, by the way, this man was one of those hated Samaritans. He asks, where were the other nine? And has no one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner? And here's the interesting part. He says to this one healed leper, that's an important factor. This man has been healed. He didn't turn and go back to Jesus to thank him until such time as he was healed. He thanks Jesus, cries out to him. Then Jesus says, he threw himself at Jesus' feet, remember? They kind of did that back then in praise. He then said to him, rise, verse 19, and go, your faith has made you well. Some of the translations, and I went through 8 or 10 of them, say, your faith has healed you. So when this was presented in a sermon, I thought, well, now wait a minute. He's been healed. He comes back and says, thank you. And Jesus says, your faith has healed you. And so I went back in, and it's been years since I went into the Greek. I had to study it back in university. And I realized, and if any of you know Greek more than me, you can try to correct me. I'm open. But the word for healing and the word for salvation, you know, you've been healed, you've been saved, are the same word in Greek. Those words in the New Testament are used interchangeably to mean physical healing and spiritual healing. So I went through some of the scriptures and I found this. In Mark 5:34, Jesus says to her, daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering. Same Greek word, healed you. Matthew 9:2, some men brought to him a paralyzed man lying on a mat. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to them, take heart, your sins are forgiven. The sins are forgiven. The word there is the same as saved. Same one that's translated as healed. Mark 10:52, go, said Jesus, your faith has healed you. Immediately he received his sight. You're welcome. That's a sign of God's blessing. It's the second time it's happened, because I preach a lot more than twice. But anyway, your faith has healed you. Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road. Luke 7:50, Jesus said, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. These are the ways we translate them in English, but it's all that same Greek word. And there's several more here. In Acts 16:30, the man comes to Jesus and says, or comes to them and says, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Same Greek word. Now let's look at lepers for a minute. I told you that lepers were not allowed to be anywhere near people. They were outcasts from society. They were not allowed to go into the temple. They were not allowed to worship with God's people. They weren't allowed in the home Bible study. They weren't allowed in the life group or any of these other things that we as Christians avail ourselves of. They were outcasts. They were not allowed to be with their families. And I understand that because you don't want to infect your family. These people, because of all of this, were very much disconnected from God. And I would say that they were also disconnected from themselves. Talk about discouraging. And if you know about the disease and the way it works, I mean, your fingers start to fall off. They just rot and fall off. And I won't go into any of the more details. But partly because of this disease and partly because of their situation, they're disconnected from God. They're kind of disconnected from themselves. And, of course, disconnected from one another. I have come to believe that a life separated from God, and I like to say it this way, is hell. Because I don't know what hell is, and there's a lot of words to try to describe it in the New Testament, but to me, it's to be denied the presence of God, wherever that might be. To finally see God as He is when we leave this life, and then be denied His presence, to me, that's what hell is. And maybe there's a lot of other stuff in there that, you know, is really terrible. So if being separated from God is what I call hell, so what does it mean to be saved? And I want to look only in this context tonight. We could talk a lot about things to answer that. But to me, I want to look at it is that it's being reconnected with our Creator. I heard a long time ago a radio evangelist back in the days when I was young. His main theme was, it only makes sense to let the God who made you run you. And I've thought about that for many years, and I think he's right. God is the great Creator. He created us with a purpose in mind, and with great love. So, getting saved, and here the same word for healed, I think there's some similarities, but getting saved for this man, the second one, the first thing he was healed, the second time, I believe it should be translated, he was saved. Your faith has saved you. Now, what was his faith in that story? Well, in order to understand that, we have to look at John chapter 4. And the first few verses there, it's quite a bit. I want to read it to you. It's another story. You probably know the story. But the stories of Jesus are so beautiful. Jesus in chapter 4 they're traveling from one city to another. The disciples go off to purchase food or do whatever they were supposed to do. And Jesus goes through Samaria, which was where the Samaritans were. These were the people that were hated by Jews. So I'm trying to narrow the story down a little bit. But what in chapter 4, the woman says to Jesus, because he asked her for some water, and she said, number one, you're talking to a woman. Number two, you're talking to a Samaritan. Your people don't have anything to do with the Samaritans. Here's what she said. I can see that you're a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews claim that the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem. So the Samaritans believe that you worship here on this mountain, and the more pure Jews believe that you have to go down to Jerusalem to the temple to worship. Now you have to understand some of the background on this. Samaria was annexed into Judea, and the people intermarried, and it became a mixed blood, so they were not pure Jews at that time. So the Jews, especially the religious elite, rejected them. And they were the outcasts. Jews had nothing to do with Samaritans. Now the Jews, as I said, worshipped in the temple in Jerusalem. The Samaritans worshipped in the temple at Mount Gerizim, The story of the lepers tells us that the one that came back was a Samaritan. I'm assuming since it doesn't say that the other nine were not. They were more pure Jews, if you will. Here's this leper. He's been healed. He's told, go to the priest and show yourself. He would understand the procedure to do that. I believe this is what went through his mind. Wait a minute. I am headed to the place where I think the presence of God dwells, in the temple. And that's up on Mount Gerizim. And the other nine are going down to Jerusalem to go where the presence of God is in the temple. But I believe he had, call it an epiphany, he had this enlightening. I believe it was a word from God. And he realized that I am headed to the place where I think you meet with God. And yet, I just experienced the presence of God like I've never known it before. In a carpenter from Nazareth. So I'm not going to go to that holy place. I'm going to my new holy place. And I'm going to give God the glory in the reality of God's presence in our midst. And so he turned right around, went back to Jesus, fell at his feet, praised him in a loud voice. Now, putting those two stories together has really helped me to understand how it says they were healed and then your faith has healed you. Your faith has saved you. Something happened to that one Samaritan leper that did not happen to the other nine. You see, in so doing this, in this experience, in this leper's life, this man reconnected to the reality of the presence of God in our world. And our world needs that today. The centerpiece of our religion, I don't like the word religion, but anyway, is Acts 4:12. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven by which we must be saved. That's the name of Jesus Christ. Jesus is the reality of God's presence in our midst. And if we want to reconnect with our Creator, then we have to understand the words of Jesus when he said, I am the way, I am the truth. And no one comes to the Father except me, the Father, the Creator. No one comes to him except through Jesus. We come to God through Jesus Christ. And as we reconnect to him, we're reconnected to ourselves and who we really are. And then we're connected to those around us. See, here's my concern. We are looking to get back to normal. I don't mean to be critical or judgmental, but I have sensed for the last few years that the normal is not pleasing to God. As I shared at the beginning, Dennis Kinlaw said, the problem with the church today is too many people who think they're Christians but aren't. I have said, again, not to be critical, but because it breaks my heart, that our churches are full of people that have joined the club. And the frustration is the pastor's job is to keep the club members happy. And that's an impossible task. I know I did it for 18 years. And you've always got half of the congregation mad at you. It's never good enough. Why is that? Because it's about self. And frankly, I hate this whole virus thing. But I'm hoping God uses it and we wake up and we don't go back to the way it was. I don't know what the answer is. I'm not saying we should tear down all the churches. But I think we need to stop and ask ourselves, where is our holy place? And it's in Jesus Christ. Now, if the assembling together of ourselves on the Sabbath day, on Sunday, you know, is a part of that and can help us to stay closer to God, then by all means we need to do that. But perhaps we need to get serious when we are gathering as the church, as the saved people. And maybe if we focus on reconnecting with our Creator and being all that He has called us to be, maybe the style of music. My wife's going to laugh because, you know, I'm very critical sometimes of the music and so forth. And the color of the carpet. I've seen churches close because they couldn't agree on the color of the carpet in the sanctuary. I mean, the foolishness of people. They claim to be Christians. And we wonder why the world doesn't come to us, doesn't come to Christ. We don't have anything that they would want. As I said, Dennis Kinlaw says, the closer we walk in intimacy with God, the less we have to say. Our lives become a bold and beautiful testimony to the purity, the freedom, and the beauty of the Lord Jesus Christ. But I feel convicted so often because I don't see myself there. I see myself contributing to the church, serving, teaching Sunday school, you know, doing all the things that you're supposed to do to keep the church running, basically. I serve in the sound booth once a month and videotape our services so they can put them out. That's all before the COVID virus. You may laugh at this, but my wife and I serve in the nursery with the babies once a month. Can you imagine she got me into that? But don't worry, the first Sunday we went in there, and we had to be, we had to go through training and, you know, all the certification background checks and all that, and we've done that. First Sunday we're in the nursery. I love babies and children. My wife said, oh, by the way, I forgot to tell you, men are not allowed to change diapers. I said, oh, and I was so looking forward to that. I told my daughter-in-law that, and at that time my granddaughter was probably two, maybe not, I don't remember the age. But I thought it was interesting that they had that rule, and she looked at me and she said, well, in this home, you are allowed to change diapers. And I have, just in case you're wondering. I want to reconnect with my Creator. I want to be all that God wants me to be. I don't know where our country is headed. It scares me. It really does. I don't know if we're going into the tribulation, if we're getting close to the second coming. I've heard the sermons. I've read the books. I don't know. I really don't know. But left to myself, it frightens me. Some in here have worked all your life. You've retired. You're receiving Social Security. And I just love Medicare. Pays all the medical bills and so forth. And we maybe have a little bit of a nest egg. I am fully aware that my little nest egg could disappear in a day or two. And I have learned, and I'm learning, it's an ongoing thing, that I cannot find my security in my bank account, in the stock market, in all those other things, that the worldly things that we tend to trust in. I cannot trust them because they can be gone. It's happened in other places. We know people, it was in 2008 and the big stock market crash, how many people just, they lost everything. And you may know of business owners that have had to close through this virus. Today, Pennsylvania, the governor declared that restaurants in Pennsylvania are not allowed to have any more than 25% of capacity. I'm guessing, was it 50% before, and they just cut it down to 20? You, my opinion, but you can't run a restaurant with only 25% capacity. And the way these politicians do it is he declares today, so as of tomorrow, they can only have half as many as they were able to have today. Now, you know, I'm not a restaurant owner, but I would assume that they've already bought food in anticipation of the number of people they're going to have. So they may be stuck with food they can't sell. And they're already hurting financially. I went to the General Nutrition Corp, GNC, to get some vitamins a week or two ago. And I came home and told my wife, I says, there's a big sign on it. 2 weeks before, the sign had said, you know, take precautions and wear masks and all that. But this time I go and there's a big sign that says this store is closed permanently. I shared that with my wife and she said, I think I read that the entire GNC corporation has shut down. That's a pretty big organization. You probably know of a business that has closed. There's so much unemployment now. Those of you that are on any kind of government assistance, Social Security, Medicare, and so forth, if everybody's out of work, who's going to pay into that? There just isn't money. I'm not trying to be a prophet of doom. I believe this country, so far, God has smiled upon us. We're not a Christian nation anymore, but God's blessing is still there. But how much longer will it be? I believe we need to wake up. And we need to reconnect with our Creator, not so much the church. You've heard me say that unfortunately, and this has really bothered me, that evangelism has, instead of becoming an invitation to salvation in Christ, it's become an invitation to attend church. And I fell into that. You know, I felt that, you know, if I meet somebody in the grocery store or, you know, in my ministry, and you know, if I could just invite him to come to church, I just feel on top of the world. I'm successful. That's not what God called us to do. We need to be about sharing the message of God's love and salvation to people. But now, we can't be reconnected to our God and still do our own thing. We need to come to Him, and it's throughout Scripture, and we need to give Him complete control. And you know, I said initially that the leper and we tend to be disconnected from God and disconnected from ourselves and disconnected from our neighbors and people. So the only way to be reconnected is decide that we're going to do His will. We're going to yield to Him. And then we're reconnected to ourself. Because aside from Him, we are nothing. And then as that happens in our lives, we tend to realize our need for community. We come to learn your true self is in submission to the purposes of God. We become connected to self, and then we realize we can't love God without loving our neighbors, because He loves them, even if they're unlovable. Because guess what? I was unlovable when He forgave me. So I want to ask you this. I don't know how long this virus is going to go. And I don't know what's going to happen. But let me ask, you know, just put it in simple terms. Are you ready for what may happen? I don't mean to be a prophet of doom. But I want to ask you, where's your holy place? Are you desperately waiting for the church to open again so you can go in and do what you've done for many, many years? Get back to teaching your Sunday school class, back to singing in the choir, you know, whatever. Now we have a taste of that here, and that's beautiful. It really is, and I'm glad that we're here. But I have to ask you this. Are you a follower of Christ, or are you a club member? Have you made a conscious decision to follow Jesus Christ? And probably more important in this setting, is that commitment up to date? If not, you're missing it. This leper, he was healed of leprosy, and I don't know how far into that disease he was. We can only guess. But I can imagine that once he was healed, he was excited. He no longer is carrying that disease in his flesh. And it's hard to see it in writing. We weren't there. But I believe the writer of the story caught a bit of what was going on. Because it says that he came back yelling and praising God. So I read into that what the writer's trying to say is this leper was so much more excited about finding his holy place, being reconnected with the Creator, than he was being healed of leprosy. Where's your holy place? Is it in your family? Is it in the camp? Your church? Your work? It could be any place. It needs to be in Jesus Christ. He's calling out to you. He wants to reconnect with you. He created you. What are you going to do about it? If he's spoken to you tonight, I would encourage you to respond. And perhaps it's something as simple as, you know, I need to rethink this whole thing. If I'm waiting for the church to open and waiting for things to go back to normal, was normal really all that God wanted it to be? And in the quote normal back then before the virus hit, was I what I should be? And am I now? And where am I going? And what's going to happen? And when's it going to happen? God has kind of pulled the rug out from under us with this virus. Some call that a reset. I think it's the best thing that's ever happened to the church. And to us, it's a wake-up call. Because I've been concerned and I've been told that I'm too critical, and I don't believe so. I go to the church and I hear the preaching and it says nothing. And I want to scream, you know, pastor, preacher, wherever I am, you know, people are dying and going to hell. And these people have nothing to live for. Except coming to church on Sundays and singing the songs. And you're preaching about how to be a good husband. Now it's good preaching, I mean, and it's biblical teaching. But when we only have an hour on Sunday morning, I would think if I was pastoring, I would be doing something other than having a whole sermon on how to be a good husband. As a pastor, I would have classes on that for husbands and so forth, and that's important. There's books written, but we need to be about the spiritual. So where are you in this whole scheme of things? Maybe God's spoken to you and said, you know what? We don't know where it's going, but I'm going with you. And you're okay. Maybe God spoke into you and said, you know, you didn't know it was God because you're starting to say, you know, don't talk like that. You're scaring me. Well, the message is that there's nothing to be scared about because we have God. If we reconnect with Him, we will be triumphant. And that's what God wants. And that's why I believe people here have this camp. We take a time, we get away from the world. We've literally done that here. And it's been great. I've so enjoyed it. But I believe God wants us to do something. So if God's spoken to you and perhaps you need to come and pray tonight, I want you to do that. Bob's going to come and perhaps, and again, I didn't tell him ahead of time, but this man can do anything. Can we do Jesus is all I need? Maybe not. Okay. Jesus will walk with me. Bob, are you saved? Play something, Bob. But seriously, if God's spoken to you tonight, be obedient. We have great days ahead if we will connect with the Creator of this world. Let's stand as we sing something Bob can sing.